From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm along with one Neil McCready. Neil in the Clark Ford studio. I am on the 17th floor of the Los Angeles Hilton awaiting my very, very early flight out of LAX in the morning after Ole Miss took 2 out of 3 from Long Beach State on the weekend. Losing the first game of the season, to open the weekend after a rain delay on Friday. They played a doubleheader on Saturday. Split that 4-3 both games, and then the Rebels ran away from the Dirtbags 12-1 on Sunday at Blair Field. So much good bit of baseball. Ole Miss still obviously involved in their basketball search, and frankly, we're going to tell you what all is going on at RebelGrove.com. This is just for disclosure reasons, 7 o'clock Pacific time as we are taping this. So if the Lyceum burns down, I didn't do it, something crazy happens. Between now and in the morning, we can't really help that. But anyway, 7 o'clock when we're recording Sunday night for Monday's show. The Oxford Exxon is the proud sponsor of our... Yes. What?
I was just saying, it's 7:06 Pacific, 9:06 Central.
Correct, yeah. 7:06 Pacific, 9:06 back in Oxford. So that's where we are. Podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West. In Oxford, where it is 9:06 currently. Get your ribs at night. You need a night where you don't cook, wet or dry. Call ahead, pick them up. They'll be ready to go. Also, lunch specials, $4.99, 2 sizes of bread, 32-ounce drink. And basketball season's over, but they've been taking the pavilion every single game. 49-cent bottomless refills at the Blue Sky, all Blue Sky locations in Mississippi. Buy your cup, then 49 cents for a refill with the Oxford Exxon. And again, Neil's coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
Indeed, Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. Call number, ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And it's that simple. You get the quote, you can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's, like I said, right to the bottom line, so easy. And tell Corey that you heard about the podcast. Tell Corey you heard about the Clark Ford on the podcast. You get $500 off your already great deal from Clark Ford and Amory. Again, 662-257-1900.
Currently up at RebelGrove.com. A lot of recruiting, 10 thoughts, obviously. Got published early Sunday morning for 10 thoughts this week, presented by Harry Alexander. A lot of baseball, probably more coming your way as well, but I've written a ton since being here in Long Beach. So you can get all the recaps from the series and some other things. Is almost moved ahead for a 5-game homestand. SEC play a couple weeks away. So RebelGrove.com, check it out. Subscribers get more content, obviously, than the people looking for free. There are different articles and everything on the message board you should check out as well. So RebelGrove.com, no better time to spend about $8 a month and get all the Ole Miss information you need in one place. Let's start with baseball, I guess. Oh, again, Ole Miss, 4-3 losers. 4-3 winners, and then got into the Long Beach bullpen, ran away from the Dirtbags 12-1 on Sunday. You said you're just now kind of getting used to the nickname Dirtbags, and we're not going to play them. Our Ole Miss is not going to play them again probably for years and years and years once it's the regional, so you can forget it now.
Every time I saw it all weekend, I'd look at your stuff, and it said Dirtbags, and I perhaps because Carson plays some travel baseball, it sounds like a travel baseball team, and I would have like a double take.
Like the DeSoto County Dirtbags or something?
Yeah, it does sound like something like that, frankly. And so it throws me off. I don't know why. It just does.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad I made the trip. And you can't – like I saw the message board where Long Beach's stream was getting made fun of in some ways and different things. And I get it. I mean, Ole Miss, the SEC, incredibly blessed. From the SEC network standpoint, what all they get from a baseball and other sports standpoint of broadcast. And you look around, and there's something almost kind of pure or refreshing about being out here. Blair Field is this community, city-owned park that some Connie Mack teams play in. Obviously, Long Beach is the main tenant. but a bunch of high schools play here. And it feels like a really big high school game. They sell beer and stuff, and it's fun, but their fans are even really positive. There's not a lot of heckling. There's not a lot of negative. It looks like the same people that sit in the same seats every single game. And I did find that interesting. It is overwhelmingly positive toward both teams with their fan base. It seems like everybody's just having a big time, probably a little scrappy underdogness to it. But there's not a ton of security. There's not a ton of bells and whistles. It's only about 2,000 people. It's a small stadium. It's a completely different environment. It's impossible to compare it to Swayze Field or Bomb Stadium or somewhere. But in its own realm and relative, it's a really neat place and something where you kind of just come and get a beer and some Cracker Jacks and watch a baseball game and have a pretty good time.
Yeah. No, I think it. In some ways, it's stuff like that sort of kind of how it's probably supposed to be.
Yeah, I found the lack of production refreshing.
Yeah, sometimes I think the big-time college athletics can get overproduced. I don't even think many of the people who listen to this or who subscribe to our site will necessarily disagree with that. And it's not a criticism. I understand the mass production and the marketing and all of those things. You're running a budget. You're trying to make money. I get it. I'm not faulting it at all. But sometimes when you get – I know exactly what you're talking about because I can remember covering a basketball game at Samford several years ago and thinking how much I really enjoyed that. My favorite tournament that I've ever covered was a Sun Belt tournament. A finale, it was South Alabama and Western Kentucky playing at Middle Tennessee's gym. And I loved it. It was so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's some promotions. Like in the second inning, they always bring out two kids and let them – like mimic hitting a home run, and then they the crowds judge the bat flips, and whichever kid has the better bat flip wins something. I don't know what they win, but they
that's
win something.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. Like some kid named Ryan or something won this today, and it was all good. But no, it is. Now look, again, you can't compare them. Is it as good of an environment as over somewhere? Well, no, it's nowhere. It's so small and different things. But there is a high school element to it that's kind of neat. I mean, I think every kid on the roster from Long Beach is from California, probably in a 25-mile radius. They're the scrappy underdogs with the SEC team in town. So I don't know. It was sort of neat. I'm glad I did it. It kind of brings you back down a little bit before you get back into the everyday kind of roar of covering the SEC. So Big West.
Yeah.
It
was a good trip for the Ole Miss kids. It's a fun trip. They'll probably never forget it. They needed to win a couple. They did. And if you're Long Beach, you needed to win one and they did.
Yeah, Long Beach is in some trouble because they're so banged up. I mean, as we kind of get into the actual baseball portion of it, Ole Miss kicked itself really bad in the first game. They had plenty of chances to win. They were the better team. I'm not even sure Long Beach is the best team Ole Miss has played to this point because they're just so hurt. Their ace is out with Tommy John. Their starting shortstop is out with a shoulder injury. The kid that started today had four knee surgeries in the last few years. He threw two innings before they went to the bullpen. I mean, for a team that has some limited resources, probably doesn't have 35 players that are high D1 ability, even though they are very scrappy and very fundamentally sound. They're out of position. It hurts their fundamentals. So Long Beach is scuffling. I don't necessarily expect much out of them. I think they fell to 4-9 or something on the season after today. But they got a lot of pitching. That's what Ole Miss did see, at least from the standpoint of the front line guys. They saw a couple good pitchers on Saturday. They hit them with kind of very good trip. Ole Miss got to see some flaws. They got to kind of get some confidence on Sunday with the 12-1 win, because when you get on an airplane after winning 12-1, you're going to feel a lot better in yourself than when you showed up. And it's a name team. And I know that sounds stupid, but when you got college kids, beating a team with a name across the chest that they recognize, there's something to that that changes the whole element. No matter how good Long Beach was or wasn't, it's saying Long Beach is a whole different deal than they had come over here and had the exact same results against a team with Cal Poly across the front of the chest.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, Ryan Rollison wasn't as sharp on Saturday in the first game. A lot of scouts see him for the first time, a lot of West Coast scouts out. And I was talking to one right after the game, and I don't know his name. I knew I couldn't quote him, so I didn't even ask. He said he didn't look like a first-round pick. He goes, our people like him. He seems like a first-round pick and everything we've read. He was the leader of the Cape, but this one guy, he didn't look like a first-round pick. And what I found interesting about this, everybody don't freak out, whatever, is he's a six-foot-one left-hander. You know, that fastball is going to go 91, 92 once it settles. You know, there's not the immeasurable stuff when he's not on. And that goes for tons of pitchers. But I did find it interesting that, you know, for a guy that is so good in so many ways, there is a situation where he's kind of got to have his best stuff week in and week out and showing it every single week to get that high draft pick where you can't easily fall and slide, easily fall down into the second, into the third if you're not careful. The mental pressure that's on Rollison and these kids to perform is probably unbearable and something that we don't necessarily talk about or have any way to be empathetic towards because we don't have that in our lives, what they have to deal with.
Oh, I mean, we've talked about this with other pitchers before. We haven't talked about it with Rollison yet, not in detail, but guys that, you know, it's March, right? And the draft is coming up in early June. And he knows what the projections say. He knows how much pressure is on him to perform, how much pressure is on him not to get hurt, all of those things. I mean, he's a human being. There's no way that he doesn't. Pitching this year is different than pitching last year. That's why, I think you've said this before. I know I've heard it, and you cover college baseball a whole lot more than I do, but I've heard a lot of college baseball coaches say the year that you really want to capitalize with great pitchers is that sophomore year. Because they've had the freshman year, but they're not to that junior year when they're thinking about all this stuff. They're kind of just pitching. And so it's something he'll have to overcome, you know, because like you said, he's not a big 6'4" guy who throws the hell out of it. I mean, throws harder than I'm ever going to throw, but he's not throwing 97, 98. So when he's off or when he's not super sharp, he's going to have to grind a little bit. And sometimes a grinder doesn't look like a first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the margin of error. I mean, that's the deal because Ryan doesn't get that sophomore year. He's a sophomore right now and he's draft eligible. So that middle year isn't there for him. And I just kind of laughed. They barreled him up a little bit. The fastball was good from a velocity standpoint, but he had a hard time getting it inside. I mean, that was how little this margin of error is between what Ryan considered a good outing and not a good outing. He couldn't bust them inside with the fastball like he typically can do. He kind of just looped the breaking ball in for some strikes, and even then he got kind of irritated. He had to hit a chop out in about the third inning, and it wasn't a very good pitch, but he got lucky, and I could see him kind of cussing in his mitt and putting the glove over his face. He was rattled by his lack of perfection because he's been so perfect the first 2 weeks. I think anything less than that kind of screwed with him mentally a little bit, and then they had that third or fourth inning from hell on Saturday when Long Beach State, doing the West Coast thing, stole five bases in one inning and had everybody kind of frazzled. And they just lost the game because they mentally didn't handle that very well. They kind of regrouped in the intermission between the two. And then they played okay in the nightcap and then played really well today. But, you know, it was good for them to see it. The only thing, other than the bag-in kid who threw the second game of the series, they're still not seeing SEC-type pitchers. The Valiant kid was really good. He's probably a Saturday starter in the SEC if he was over here because, frankly, he was their Saturday starter because of John Cheek before he had Tommy John. They did okay against him. They put some barrels on him. They made him work. They used walks and everything. Score, that's what you got to do against SEC pitching. But I do worry about them a little bit just because they're going to go into conference play now facing – 2 to 3 what I would consider SEC arms from a starting pitcher standpoint. So from the offensive way, I don't know if we're going to know a lot about this team until maybe they go to College Station in week 2 of the SEC season.
Yeah, you probably won't. We'll find out. I mean, you know, I told you earlier today they're starting to look like a team that's going to really pitch well, going to struggle sometimes at the plate, which means they're going to play a whole lot of close games in the league, and a lot of those games will swing on defense and base running and little stuff. And so that's going to be the stuff that probably is going to determine whether this is, you know, an elite team or whether this is a team that is a frustrating team to follow.
Well, it's why this week was good. I mean, above all else, that Long Beach style of baseball where they just bunt constantly, they try to steal bases, they try to do all these things station to station to make you make mistakes. It put Ole Miss's struggles with some of these routine things right in the forefront where they had to be perfect. So I think that was a good thing because it brought it all out where Ole Miss goes, hey, we've got an issue here. This is all we've got to focus on this week. And now that you see some mistakes are made, you might have a little more attention to detail that from that moving forward. So from that standpoint, it was good to play a West Coast team for Ole Miss, and then they'll go back home. They play a couple midweeks that they should win, and they get Eastern Illinois on the weekend. So they have a pretty gaudy record heading into league play when they open with Tennessee at home in Oxford in a couple weeks. And maybe the story of the weekend, for me at least, Brady Feigl in game two. He was just efficient. He was dominant again. I mean, last week against Tulane, he was only at 70-something pitches through six innings, but they pulled him because they scored a lot of runs offensively. He was that same kind of guy now. He goes 7.1 against Long Beach. He only had one inning where he had any trouble at all. And he suddenly got three pitches that are not just SEC quality, but SEC quality in any count. I can't tell you how valuable that is. That fastball has always been somewhat explosive. The slider was maybe the best breaking ball on Ole Miss's team. And now he's got a changeup that he can throw in on both sides of the plate. He can use it in any count because he commented to me. He said, "It doesn't really matter how much the changeup moves. All I'm trying to do is speed them down and slow speed them up and slow them down." Because so it was once he realized, hey, this changeup's not got to be some diving thing that goes down. It can't be a pitch that misses bats. It's just got to be a pitch in the zone that makes them change their motion a little bit, that makes them kind of look for it. He's got that now, and three pitches on a Saturday where he's not even facing the other team's ace, that might give Ole Miss a really big advantage in the middle of a game of these series.
Oh, there's no question. You have a dominant Saturday starter, in addition to Mollison. Game changer.
Yeah, suddenly a whole different deal. But and what kind of last thing on this, a lot of teeth gnashing on Saturday. Show you what baseball is like. Ole Miss with runners on base in that doubleheader yesterday. 2 of 30 offensively with runners on base. That's not going to get it done. Today, I think they had 11 hits with runners in scoring position or something. So 24 hours later, as we've talked about and laughed about, momentum, nothing more than the next starting pitcher. And you're going to have some of those days. And the big deal is you only make them one day and not a weekend. And that's what Ole Miss did pull off on Sunday.
Yeah, you can't judge a baseball team by one game. You can wait and do it over the course of time. If they go 2 for 30, 3 or 4 weekends in a row, well, you suddenly have an issue. But, one two-game stretch where you can't drive in a run is just a two-game stretch where you can't drive in a run. If it becomes 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row, well, then you have an issue.
Yeah, I was laughing with Gray Kessinger today because he and Thomas Dillard and Cooper Johnson went 0-for-23 during the doubleheader on Saturday. Today, Gray got on base 5 times. So a day after having the collar over a doubleheader, he gets on base 5 times. So it's one of those deals. But nonetheless, 10-1, they won't fall in the polls. I don't know what they'll do, but they won't fall there. Long Beach has a bit of a pitching problem. They're now 0-3 in Sunday games on the season. They've been 1-1 after all three Saturdays, and they've lost all three Sundays. They've taken one from Ole Miss. They've taken one from TCU. They've beaten Arizona State. I mean, they've got some good wins, but I just don't know with all the injuries they have enough depth to put it together. So it's a little unfortunate for Ole Miss. I don't know where that RPI for the Dirtbags is going to be by the time the conference play hits them a little bit in the Big West from a metric standpoint and it finishes the season. It's probably not going to look as good of a win as it was this weekend, and that just is what it is. You win enough SEC games, it's not really going to matter what you do in the non-conference.
Yep. And if you don't win enough, it won't matter what you did in the non-conference.
The non-conference isn't going to save you when you go 14-16, is it?
Nope.
Kentucky still looks like maybe the best team in the SEC, not named Florida. They ran through that tournament in Houston, even though that tournament in Houston nowhere near what Ole Miss saw last year. Last year, Ole Miss had to deal with Baylor, Texas Tech, and TCU. The non-SEC teams this year, Sam Houston State, Houston, and Louisiana Lafayette. So a little different caliber of opponent there. But Kentucky sweeps through it. I don't know what State did today. They played Sam Houston. They played Sam Houston. They win? You said that?
I can look.
Okay. Just kind of curious. While you're doing that, podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs. Tyson Drugs located in Holly Springs. You can go to their website at TysonDrugs.com or give them a call. 662-252-2321 is the number. Whether you need sildenafil or one of their other prescriptions they have available to fill out the forms on the website, or just some hometown help with your pharmacy. TysonDrugs.com, also now the same management, owning G&M Pharmacy in Oxford on South Lamar. They deliver local, same great service, same great family there with Bob Lominick. So again, TysonDrugs.com.
it appears that they won. I can't find the score in one of the worst baseball stories that I've ever baseball game stories I've ever seen written in my life. I'm like eight paragraphs in and it doesn't give the score. I've already clicked off of it, but they won 3-2 today over Houston in 12 innings.
No, that was yesterday.
Oh, that was yesterday?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Uh-huh. Oh, today, I'm sorry. Today they beat Sam Houston State 4-1.
So Mississippi State and Kentucky both went 3-0 in Houston. Vanderbilt went one, or they're winning right now 4-1 over Houston, but they've lost the first two games. So the Doors actually were 0-2 in the tournament, while the other SEC two SEC teams were undefeated.
Just the way you kind of thought it would go. Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. Did you know State Farm as a bank allows them to do auto financing? They just had a rate reduction in the commercial insurance rates. They have great business insurance policies, tremendous rental property policies. Give Romero Miller State Farm a call. If you're in Mississippi or Tennessee, you owe it to yourself to at least let Romero give you a quote on your insurance needs. 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high ticket product or service, your customers, their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application that is designed to get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. Call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. He's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. Podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. They have three attorneys, 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or search for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford, 662-281-8800. We're brought to you by Grenada Nissan. Grenada Nissan, located just off I-55 in Grenada. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Check out their full inventory. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about it on the podcast. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And as Chase told you earlier on Sunday, I put up 10 Weekend Thoughts brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. No one knows the residential and condo market better. Go to his site, HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email at HarryAlexander.com.
So in the SEC for the weekend, as we close the book on baseball, Texas A&M went 2-1 in Frisco, Texas, in a tournament there, the Frisco College Classic. They lost to Louisiana Tech, beat Baylor and California. As I said, Kentucky swept through the Minute Maid Shriners Hospital thing. Alabama does lose its first game of the year, but they bounce back, take 2 out of 3 from the Oklahoma Sooners. Georgia loses 2 out of 3 on the weekend to College of Charleston. Missouri either sweeps or takes the series from Maryland, Baltimore County. Florida sweeps Stony Brook. Clemson in their home and neutral series with South Carolina takes 2 out of 3 from the Gamecocks. Arkansas takes 2 out of 3 from Southern California, losing the middle game. Tennessee, a rough weekend, winning 1 of 3 games, losing games to Middle Tennessee and East Tennessee State. LSU hosting a tournament in Baton Rouge. They go 3-0. And then Vanderbilt, probably on their way to 1-2 in Houston, and then Mississippi State 3-0. So Kentucky and Mississippi State having big weekends. Ole Miss with a good weekend and a few others. Georgia and Tennessee appear to be bad again and in deep, deep trouble once league play starts.
So did you do anything fun in L.A., or was it just all baseball?
You know, it really became a lot of all baseball because of Friday night. Friday night screwed so many things up because it took that Saturday away, you know what I mean? Because you have 18 yeah. innings on Saturday. Like, and we're still at the park for a while on Friday night, too, because they let it rain for a while before they ended up calling it. So, no, that threw a huge kink in everything with the Friday night postponement because I got – kind of as soon as I got there, flight landed at 2:55. The 4:05 was, as you would imagine, a complete mess on Friday afternoon trying to get into Long Beach out of LAX. and they were putting the tarp out as soon as I got to the stadium. And I get this. I'm not really making fun because it really doesn't rain out here very much. Every time it sprinkled, they freaked out. You know what I mean? Like, a little bit of rain, and some of it's because the field doesn't drain very well. But even on Saturday, the radar showed no rain. The sun was peeking out, and they left the tarp in the outfield until about 20 minutes from first pitch, just in case they needed to put it back out there. And assistant coach Mark McMillan told me they were one of the few schools in the conference that even had a tarp at all, because most teams don't have one. It's when the NCAA mandates it for regional play if they host a regional. So that's why Long Beach has a tarp. So otherwise, they'd been in really, really lot of trouble, because all the rain on Friday night probably would have prevented games from even happening on Saturday had it been at other places other than Long Beach, Irvine, or Cal State Fullerton.
I hate you didn't get to do some of the tourist stuff that I know you probably kind of wanted to do.
Yeah, in a way. You know, that stuff doesn't get to me, kind of like a lot of people would like really just die to do it, but it would have been good to see a little more. Ole Miss is back out here in a couple of years. So it's very possible.
You can go ahead and book your flight.
Good. Yeah, they're playing in the Dodgertown Classic against SC and UCLA and whomever else. Your favorite time of the year is going on, Neil. It's spring football. It had a practice open to the public on Saturday. It had a few other practices. You wrote about this in 10 Thoughts, but oblige me here. With your excellent analysis on the hoof football takes, what do you got? What'd you see?
Well, I got to the practice, but immediately my phone rang. And you know who I talked to. It was a call that I needed to take. I took it. It lasted a long time. And by the time I got done, I had a lot of basketball coaching search information, and I had missed a lot of the football practice. I don't know. Look, Jordan Tamu looks really good. DK Metcalf looks really good. I think they, even with Greg Little gone to the NFL symposium, it's a very good offensive line. I'm not sold on the running backs yet. I saw some burst from Scottie Phillips, but I need to see more. I don't like the depth behind him, if I'm honest. Defensively, there are some bright spots, but there are more question marks. I don't like what I see at linebacker. Hibbler did some good things. Bing Dukes does some good things. There's not a lot of depth there right now. There are some young players who have a chance, but they have to really come on. There's just spots. I worry about that Ole Miss team defensively. I think offensively, especially if they get any kind of a running attack, they're going to be very good. Defensively, I worry that they could really struggle. You've known me for 9 years professionally. I'm big on linebacker play. And I worry about Ole Miss's linebacker play. I worry a lot about it if I'm an Ole Miss fan. I worry about their ability to stop the run, to prevent teams from stretching the field horizontally on them. Also, I'm not crazy about some of their safety play. I'm not trying to be negative. I'll tell you this. I already like the over in the Ole Miss-Texas Tech game. I don't even know what it is, but I like the over.
It feels like Ole Miss is going to win that game, but it's going to be close to 100 points scored.
If you told me that, I wouldn't even bat an eye at it, man. If you told me that game was – I'm serious. I'm trying not to be hyperbolic. If you told me that game was 52-45, I wouldn't even blink.
Well, that game in Oxford they played in 2003 was 49-45 with Eli and B.J. Simmons or whatever his name was.
Yeah, I think this offense has a chance to be dynamic. I really do. You can tell that they're more comfortable. They go really fast. Tamu looks like he has picked up right where he left off. They were out there without A.J. Brown the other day. He was at the symposium as well. Like I said, I think they're really good up front. They've got multiple weapons at receiver. Other people are pretty high on Phillips. I'll take their word for it. Like I said, I didn't get to see all of the practice. I was doing work on another story. If they get a running attack, they're dangerous on offense. I just think defensively, there's a lot of work to be done.
Well, two things with that. First, just talking about Texas Tech, this is the thing that should keep Cliff Kingsbury up at night, as he's probably coaching for his job, is not in the game, but in the season. As bad as Ole Miss's defense, or as good as Ole Miss's defense is, I can guarantee you it has twice the amount of talent as Texas Tech's. They're terrible. So Tomu might have an incredible day in that opener, because Texas Tech has nothing defensively in any phase. And the thing that, you know, Ole Miss has had this bad linebacker play for a while, but they've been really good in another area. For Ole Miss to be competent if the linebacker play is bad, and again, if, we'll see it, we'll see what it is. It's definitely unproven at best case for Ole Miss right now, is they have to be somewhat dominant to make up for it somewhere else. They used to do that in the defensive line. They were able to make the linebackers better because of that defensive line. But it's not necessarily a deep defensive line right now. That's where you have to look at. It's not just linebacker play. It's where do you make up that difference. And Ole Miss looks good in other areas, sound in other areas, SEC competent, but not necessarily over-the-top elite that's going to make up for some of the linebacker play if it is poor.
Yeah, that, I mean, I worry about a team's ability just to continuously outscore people in the SEC, but, you know, teams have done it. It's March. There were some strong – I mean, I think Ryder Anderson's going to be a good player. I think Chuck Wiley's going to be a good player. Josh Clark, Zacharian Baker, they have a chance. They've got to really pick up the mental part of the game. And if you read 10 Thoughts, Wesley McGriff sort of talks about that, how important it is for these guys to, you know, improve their football IQ. I mean, that's code for guys have to learn to pick up the system. They've got to learn to pick up reads and understand formations, and they're not going to be talented enough to just win on talent alone. They're going to have to do more than that. And there's time to get there. There is. There's time to get there. But on Saturday, when you watch, it's just this time of the year, you sort of expect the defense to dominate and the offense dominated.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? I mean, I've covered football for all these years, and usually early in spring, the defense is way ahead of the offense.
Who's kicking?
At Ole Miss, the offense is way ahead of the defense.
Who's kicking?
I didn't even see.
Okay. Is it Luke Logan?
I didn't notice. I don't think they even did a lot of kicking.
Okay.
But again, I missed the first half of it because I was on the phone and I needed to get away from people.
So secretive.
Well, it was a couple of different conversations that I needed to have.
We haven't touched on it yet after half an hour of a podcast because, frankly, it's not the story, even a little bit of a story. Ole Miss loses to Vanderbilt on senior day by 13 or so. Tells you how bad of an environment and effort everything it was if you lose by 13 on senior day, because usually senior day is worth about 10 points for a home team. And with a lot of seniors, guys that have been around the program for a while. Not about the game, though. I don't care about that. Whatever. Ole Miss is 14th in the league. They play whomever on South Carolina on the first day in St. Louis here in a few days. But was it just another chapter in where this program is and whatever this hire needs to be? You and I have discussed this, not really having argumentative or different takes. There's just different ways to look at it. But did you feel like there was a feeling around that pavilion on Saturday? Because I wasn't there, but I've heard some horror stories about how bad the environment was, that maybe it was even a little more important than they thought, that, hey, if there's not somebody to kind of not only be new but be sort of exciting, this thing could have a very gradual rise back, even if the team does decide to win at some point.
Yeah, it was. You're exactly right. It was an odd, and I'm glad you talked to people besides me, because one opinion is not enough. I was stunned at 7:15, 7:20 when they did the senior night festivities, when they honored those five seniors. There was nobody there. There was no environment. There was no atmosphere. It was. I'm not going to be hyperbolic and say it was like a funeral, because it wasn't like a funeral, but it was like a.
It was indifferent.
It was like a business meeting where they hand out Salesman of the Year award and everybody's like, whatever, when do we get to break for lunch? It was kind of like that. It was awful. It was depressing. It was kind of sad. And if I'm Ross Bjork, it scared the hell out of me. Because if that's not rock bottom, Ole Miss cannot afford to find out what rock bottom is.
No, on Saturday, I would guess that I talked to 20 people who are typically people who go to basketball games, that live close to Oxford or in Oxford, and have an emotional stake in the program. Do quick math in my head. I think I'm right here because I kind of thought about it earlier today. 18 of the 20, and we're talking about people that have gone to at least 5 basketball games this year. 18 of the 20 stayed home and watched baseball on the internet or just went out with their family. They didn't go to the basketball game. I'll guarantee you more people watched a baseball live stream from Long Beach, California than went to the Pavilion on Saturday night.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, a handful of people strolled in right at or right after the tip to make the crowd, I don't know, I'd guess 3,500. Which is more than I thought would be there. I thought there'd be 2,500 or 2,000 even. There were some people that came just because they go by habit, they go to the basketball games, and good for them.
How do you dissect whether this is a team problem versus a program problem?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question. I'm glad I'm not the one having to make that decision. It's certainly a team problem. The team just doesn't have any confidence. I started to say they don't give a damn, and I don't think that's it. I do think they care. I don't think they care enough, and I don't think they have an ounce of confidence. And I think at the first sign of adversity, they go, F it. Let's.
Yeah, but I mean, with all due respect, the team is irrelevant now. They're going to lose at some point this week in St. Louis. The season will end. It's a program thing. I mean, if it's just a team thing and a new coach and whatever comes back next year and this thing is even kind of like it was in the last preseason, well, that's pretty manageable. But if Saturday was indicative of where the program is to the point of having to rebuild all the capital, to rebuild every bit of enthusiasm just in general, well, that's a whole nother conversation than just kind of a bad team for a season.
Well, look, I think it's critical for them to bring in a coach that has a little star quality. Mm-hmm. I think they have to bring in somebody that excites fans. There is no emotional capital in the program right now. That won't work. They've got a challenge on their hands. They really do. I think they need to hire a big name coach. I think they need to hire a coach that makes people excited. Now, the coach himself is not going to get out and play, whether it's the big names like Thad Matta or Tom Crean or Mike White. None of those guys are going to score a point. They're done. They're not scoring. They're not rebounding. They're not blocking out. They're not defending. So you got to get players. And so at some point, you know, just a little excitement and some bells and whistles will not get it done. You've got to go recruit players. But initially, they've got to do something that gets people excited, Chase. There's nothing. There's total apathy. And I've heard you say this before, and I've always agreed with it. The only thing worse than losing is apathy. Mm-hmm. And right now, this basketball program is completely apathetic.
Well, I'll give you an example. I mean, we've watched – it's not the stages of grief per se, but we've watched the decline of a sports program because with Ole Miss basketball, even in a very short period of time – let's go back to last year. So they don't make the tournament and everybody's kind of frustrated, but it hadn't been that long since they had played the game where they beat BYU and lost to Xavier. It was still kind of okay. They go beat Monmouth, and then they go to Syracuse. And for a day, even though it's the NIT, everybody's kind of balled in there, and it's kind of excited. Well, they get back home. They play that Josh Pastner-led Georgia Tech team, and they lay an egg. They bomb when the crowd's full. The Pavilion had some energy that night. And here's what you're talking about. People were pissed off. Anger. They were bought in. There was a chance. It was mad. Now it's not mad anymore. The only thing worse than, as you said, anger is apathy. And that is where now is apathetic. And that's where it puts pressure on Ross. I mean, all seriousness. Because let's say, just throwing out names, and I'm not a basketball savant, but I know enough here to say, to give some hypotheticals. If you're completely bought in, Joe Dooley, dude at Gulf Coast?
Yes.
Okay. Joe Dooley's the dude that needs to run this program. He's going to rebuild it methodically. He's going to rebuild it in a way that is going to be sustainable and consistent and whatever. That's all well and good, and that's the hire you should make if you felt that way. Again, I'm just throwing out names, whatever. But it's not going to be exciting from day one. He's not going to sell any more tickets than any of the other dudes that you could hire, not named Mike White or probably Thad Matta, I guess maybe Tom Crean, but I don't see that happening anyway. It puts pressure on you to almost make kind of a wrapped up pretty hire that is a gamble on substance versus maybe where you feel like there's tons of substance, but it's not sexy at all for year one and year two as you're having to kind of put this roster together.
No, there's no doubt that you're right. I think it changes the search, honestly. If you're going to bring in a Joe Dooley, even a Steve Forbes,
even a Kermit Davis,
Even Kermit Davis, I think you're really rolling the dice that you can get people excited enough that you can get the thing going. I almost think it's forced them to at least throw the checkbook at Thad Matta, at Mike White, at, I guess I'll say Tom Crean, though I'm hearing more and more that Tom Crean to Georgia is way down the road. It's a game changer. I thought Saturday was a bad, bad, bad look for that program. And I think if you're Ross Bjork and the people that are the decision makers, you probably saw that too, and you've got to recalibrate.
Fascinated. Huge week in that search is now, again, Ole Miss goes to St. Louis to play South Carolina in the SEC tournament. If they win, who do they get?
If they win, they isn't that funny? Let me pull up the bracket. I've not even given a thought to them winning the game. If they win, they get.
They've already beat them once.
Yeah, they did, but that was a long season ago.
That does feel like 8 years ago when they played them on New Year's Eve.
Isn't that terrible? I've not even considered the possibility that they would win the game. I'm pulling up the bracket right now.
All right.
I'm not trying to be hyperbolic. I just have not considered the possibility that they would win.
I saw you pick Tennessee to beat Missouri in the finals.
Yeah, I think Missouri is going to really benefit from I really think they're going to benefit from home court. They're playing well right now, and they're in the tournament. There's no pressure on them. I think they'll play loose.
You were going to say they're really going to benefit from Michael Porter Jr. I was going to say, you don't say a lottery pick is going to help the Tigers if he plays next week.
You think he plays?
Don't you?
Kinda.
I think he plays too. That doesn't leak out if he's not playing.
Oh, I think it's certainly possible that he plays.
Yeah.
If not, probably. And there's no pressure on him. He can just play some. The winner of the Ole Miss game plays Arkansas.
Okay. I watched Ole Miss play Arkansas a few weeks ago. Arkansas in the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Arkansas 28 in the tournament. At the end of the day.
Obviously, the top four seeds are in. Auburn, there's Tennessee.
There's six in right now, and then A&M's kind of weird.
Auburn, Tennessee, Florida and Kentucky are all definitely in. They all advise. Missouri is in for sure.
And Arkansas.
Arkansas is in. And then, like you said, A&M. I think A&M is probably in.
Their RPI is really 24.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, 24 RPI. They probably need to beat Alabama again on Thursday, but that would do it.
Team that also lost a lot of games with guys injured.
Yeah, they're probably in. They deserve to be in.
How funny is that with A&M? Bree and Tyree's ball goes in. All that changes is a ball moves by a millimeter, and they're probably bubble out right now.
Oh, they would be out. They'd have a – yeah. And who knows how Ole Miss's season would be different.
A millimeter. It was halfway down.
Yes.
So, crazy. Anyway, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So that's what the float-down options allows you to lock in the current rates. But if rates go down before you close, you get that lower rate. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLowe, J-L-O-W-E, at communitympg.com.
Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories, recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base, exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year. We featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. With Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances, up to $50,000 with Kasasa ATM fees nationwide are refunded. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. Or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The Moonlight Grahams are a brand new folk band from Nashville, Tennessee. It's started by Ole Miss grad John McCann. Album was released on Friday on Spotify and iTunes. It's an organic and genuine style of music. Features the banjo, acoustic guitar, and the steel pedal. If you like the Avett Brothers, Mumford & Sons, you'll love the Moonlight Grahams. Check out their Facebook page, their Instagram page. Share it on your Spotify playlist. And stay tuned for information for shows where the Moonlight Grahams will be playing soon in Nashville.
Podcast also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. And telling you about the promo just for podcast listeners. Either a $50 discount on a pressure washing job over 2,000 square feet, or free pressure washing of the driveway and sidewalks if you sign an annual contract. I had it done on Friday while I was on the plane headed to L.A. Most people don't realize just how bad it is till it looks better and you see the difference. So MasterCutsLawn.com, 662-607-7773 for MasterCuts.
Yeah, they did our house on Friday, too. They did a great job. Couldn't recommend them more.
Assuming you didn't watch Phil Mickelson win his first golf tournament since 2013 today.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Talk about it with Jeffrey later in the week. I did watch a little NBA. I was watching the
– I know. I'll let you know.
It's fine. I was watching some NBA where the 76ers were up by like 20 and they got beat. So that's kind of weird. I watched a run by Milwaukee there.
Oh, really? I didn't see that either.
Yeah, Philadelphia, when I was watching, was up 20 points in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee actually won by 8. So,
point of Giannis,
now, yeah, point of
Giannis
now,
is really good.
27-5 run to win.
Giannis is now really, really, really good.
Yeah. So. Anyway, all right, let's see. What else do we have? A lot of content at rebelgrove.com. Including multiple coach threads. Again, subscribe if you can. I know you can. You have $8 if you're listening. You're not living under a rock. Subscribe, rebelgrove.com. A lot of threads that are not available to the person who's just reading what is there for free. So good time to do that with baseball, basketball, spring football, if that's your desire as well, as this thing moves into the next week. We got one more week of spring football, and they shut it down for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we have one more media opportunity on Tuesday afternoon, and then that'll shut it down until March the 20th in terms of media ops. We'll come back, and then there's like 2 weeks or so before the Grove Bowl game on April the 7th, which I think will be probably more of a controlled scrimmage than it will be an actual game, just like it is at most every single program in the country. But yeah, I mean, this is a, on the offensive side of the ball, this is about perfecting things. On the defensive side of the ball, this is about trying to find players.
I guarantee you that whatever their stadium holds, Nebraska will have a capacity crowd for that spring game.
Yeah, they probably will. They're pretty excited. They have
their boy back.
They have their boy back. They have what they think is hope back. And you know what? It's kind of sort of mimics what we're talking about with the Ole Miss basketball job a little bit. They've got to kind of go out and get that kind of excitement. I'm glad I'm not Ross Bjork today.
It's a hard deal.
It's important. That arena is a nice arena, and it's one of those arenas that when it's full, it's really nice. And when it's empty, it really feels empty.
We'll see.
And
I mean,
it really felt empty Saturday night.
Then the new coach has got to try to save some semblance of that recruiting class.
Yeah, you got to get, yeah, it's, you know, and the new coach can have a bad year next year, but if there's a sense from recruiting, and it's kind of like Auburn and recruiting is promising and this thing is going to be okay soon, you're okay. People will support that. It's that sense of there's nothing that can be done. They can't afford nothing against Rick Ray. They can't afford a Rick Ray hire.
As of March 5th, I believe is the date, March 4th, whatever it is today, March 4th, Bruce Pearl coaching at Auburn next year?
No.
How certain?
80%.
Really? That high?
Yeah.
So you disagree with your other podcast co-host?
I do.
Okay. Just curious.
Now, if he's right, then, you know, I mean, look, it won't be the first time I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Won't be the last time I'm wrong.
Who would you vote for SEC Coach of the Year?
Konzo Martin.
Over Pearl and Rick Barnes?
Yes.
Why?
Not only did he take over a terrible situation with in terms of where they were a year ago, so much of it was built around Michael Porter Jr., who to this moment has not really contributed. Who would you vote for?
Rick Barnes.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Pick 13th. I know the media is stupid, but pick 13th. Look, there's nothing. I mean, this is going to sound much more offensive because it really does sound offensive than I mean for it to be. There's nothing dumber than basketball preseason picks in the SEC.
Yeah, because it's done in the middle of football season.
The only dude in the SEC qualified to pick that is Jerry Tipton. That's it. You basically should just send a ballot to Jerry Tipton and run whatever he says.
Yeah, because the rest of us are locked into football at that point.
Yeah, and they all fill out the ballot. We all fill out the ballots like we know what we're talking about. No freaking idea.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, it's just like when the baseball regionals get here and the football guys have to go over and cover the baseball team for 2 weeks. They don't know what the hell they're talking about or looking at.
Yeah, it's going to be like this year in May because you have something going on. I've got to go over and cover the SEC baseball tournament. And I'm going to be like, so what's up? how y'all been?
Yeah.
What'd y'all have for lunch?
At least you might get lucky and Bama not be there, so the place isn't just a complete zoo.
Yeah, that would be good. I will appreciate that part.
You'd like Bama to finish 13th or 14th in the league.
Yes, I would like for them not to make it. That would be nice. Although my friend Chris Stewart would be there if they were there, and I like Chris. But I tell you who's not going to finish 13th or 14th.
Who's that?
The Billy's Pecans Cinnamon Pecan Coffee Cake. It was named the number one, not the number 13, the number one cake in Mississippi by the Food Network. To celebrate, Billy's Pecans are offering their cinnamon pecan and blueberry pecan coffee cakes for just $25. now through March the 10th. Enter the promo code Food Network at checkout at billyspecans.com.
Are you a coffee cake fan?
I love coffee cake.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay. You don't eat it, but you love it.
If it's in front of me, I'll probably sample a little of it. But yeah, it's good.
All right, we've got about 90 seconds left. How's the Peloton?
Peloton is awesome.
Okay, here's my deal.
I've never been more pleased with something in my life.
And maybe this is the conversation we got to have Tuesday. Maybe we're teasing this when we're actually in the same room together. When you put that type of expense on a very, I won't say solitary, but a unilateral piece of exercise equipment that does one thing, aren't you kind of obligated to be bought in? Because otherwise it would be a very depressing thing if it didn't live up to every expectation times 10.
Well, there's probably some truth to that, but okay. From a technical standpoint, from an experience standpoint, from a music standpoint, from a workout standpoint, from a metric standpoint, I've been blown away. I've loved it.
Okay. Internet's good enough.
Internet's been good enough.
Any buffering at all?
If all the kids are upstairs on their devices, it gets a little spotty and I have to tell them to get off. Okay. And then it's fine. Okay. And then it's fine. Okay. When I'm in the house by myself, it's perfectly fine.
All right.
It's like being in a spin class in New York, but I know my heart rate. I know my output. I know how many calories I've burned. I know how many miles I've gone. I know my speed. I know where I rank against. Like today I was in a class with 693 people. And I know precisely where I finished in terms of the amount of output that I exerted.
Which was
number 200.
Not bad.
Not bad. It was my third ride.
I think, say, for somebody not into cycling yet, pretty good.
Yeah, no, I really like it. And I was, and most importantly, I was dripping wet.
Do you have a way to look at like what the output is, the number one dude that's the psycho winning the class?
Yeah, I think you could.
Okay. I would be curious to see where that dude was at.
It's probably some dude who's almost a quasi-professional cyclist.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you run a marathon. You know you're not beating the guys from Kenya. That's not the goal.
Kind of racist there, no?
Well, it's not any more racist than it was when I got to like the 13-mile mark in Chicago and the sign that said, "You better speed up. The Kenyans are drinking your beer now." It was kind of true. You know, if they wanted to, they could be drinking our beer now.
I guess it'd be ethnist, wouldn't it? It would be racist. It'd be
I suspect they're not offended by that. They probably would laugh along with us.
Yeah. That's fair. It's stereotyping, but it's fine. I understand.
Well, it's not stereotyping if it's true. The Kenyans are out there winning the race, and people like me are at the halfway mark about the time that they finish.
Yeah. It's like I tweeted the other day that the kid from Long Beach that threw the first game, he was 5'6", 155 pounds. And I was like, I'm assuming he's going to throw a lot of breaking balls. And somebody on Twitter was like, "How'd you know that?" I'm like, "Really? He was 5'6 and weighed 155 pounds. 96 wasn't coming from that arm. Sorry."
As Jeffrey says all the time, we're not all created equal. That's a myth.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, that's Monday's show. We will be back in the same place on Tuesday. So, again, please check rebelgrove.com, subscribe. We would appreciate that. And we will talk to you in a day. Talk to you next.